My name is Matthias Welisch. I'm from Freie Universität Berlin. And in this presentation, I want to talk about RTLab and open source library in C for RPKI-based prefix origin validation. And this is joint work with Fabian Holler and Thomas Schmidt, who is sitting there, from HAW Hamburg, and Jochen Schiller from Berlin as well. And before I want to give you some details about our project, I will discuss some background so that you get an idea why are we doing this project. So the background is what is going wrong with the current internet, how can you harm the internet backbone infrastructure. And if you think about how the current internet works, then we have autonomous systems like Google, AT&T, and so on. And these autonomous systems exchange network layer reachability information based on the BGP protocol. So in this case, this example, Google announced that it owns the IP prefix 1020 with a /16 length. And this announcement is sent to AT&T, and AT&T propagates this announcement to its BGP neighbors and so on. And finally, this information arrives at the end user, and a path is established so an end user can access content by Google. Unfortunately, in this example, we have also an autonomous system 9. And in this autonomous system, we have an attacker, and this attacker announces the same prefix as Google is doing. And most likely, the upstream provider by the end user will choose IS9 as a destination for this Google prefix because IS9 is closer. And finally, if an end user requests data from Google, the request is redirected to the incorrect autonomous system IS9. And this incorrect redirection of data traffic is called prefix hijacking. And this is the problem. And prefix hijacking is possible because in its original design space, BGP is based on trust. This means that every autonomous system router, BGP router, is able to announce any prefix, and there is no cryptographically strong verification mechanism to check if this announcement is correct or incorrect. And you might think, ask yourself, is this reality or only research? Unfortunately not. Prefix hijacking exists. There are several prominent examples, like in 2008, where Pakistan Telecom hijacked the IP prefix of YouTube. So YouTube was not accessible for quite a long of time. Another very prominent example is in 2010, where China Telecom announced incorrectly approximately 37,000 IP prefix, which led to an outages for 15% of the internet traffic worldwide for 18 minutes. Obviously, not all of these incidents needs to be attacks, but can also be due to misconfigurations. But in any case, it leads to a disruption of internet traffic in the internet backbone. To overcome this problem, this prefix hijacking, there are several solutions, and one solution has been standardized in the IETF some years ago, and it is assembled in the so-called RPKI framework. RPKI stands for Resource Public Key Infrastructure. So how does it work? First of all, you have a cryptographically strong attestation between an IP prefix and an origin IS. And these attestations are stored in the so-called RPKI repository, and the repository is globally distributed. All of this data of the distributed RPKI repository is fetched by so-called cache servers, and these cache servers validate the RPKI data with respect to the cryptography. And all cryptographically valid data is then finally sent to a BGP peer. And the deployment of this infrastructure started in January 2011. And this architecture, this approach, has a big advantage that you don't need to introduce cryptographic load to the BGP router, because the cryptographical validation is done by the cache servers. And only the cryptographic valid data, the payload of this mapping, is sent to the BGP router. And this is based on the so-called RPKI-RTR protocol. Nevertheless, I mean, this, as I said, this does not introduce additional load to the router, not really, no cryptographic load. It increases nevertheless the complexity on the routers, and this leads to some research questions. First, what is the performance overhead for prefix origin validation at BGP routers, FPKA-enabled BGP routers? Does the prefix origin validation introduce new attacks that harm the local router system? And finally, what is the current state of deployment? And if you want to analyze or to answer these research questions, you need a tool. A tool that performs the operations that are required on the BGP router. And if you look around and analyze the current state of related work, you find that there are some implementations for these functions at the routers available. For example, there's an implementation from Cisco and Juniper, but these implementations are closed, so you cannot easily do fine-grained measurements, for example. Other work that exists but is open source has been developed for debugging purposes, so it is not optimized with respect to performance. And this was the reason why we started to develop implementation for the routers. And this implementation is called RTRLab. So what is the RTRLab? It is an implementation of the RPKI RTR client protocol. It is written in C and implemented as a library. So it allows you to fetch the data from the RPKI from the cache servers. And this means that you receive a valid prefix to RS mapping. It keeps the router validation database in sync with the cache server, and it provides an interface between the local database of this mapping and the routing daemon to access validated objects. And finally, it allows you then to validate a BGP update with respect to the RPKI repository. This means that you can verify if this update is correct or incorrect. And the implementation conforms to all current specs in the ITF. So in the next slides, I will present you some performance results. We start with the memory consumption. So the question is, if the router receives this valid mapping, how much memory does this consume? What you see here on the x-axis is the number of entries in the prefix validation table, and on the y-axis, the memory consumption in megabytes. You see two graphs. The graph with a circle is a numerically calculated memory consumption, and the line with the rectangles is the result based on the measurement. One entry in this prefix validation table requires approximately 78 bytes per entry, and obviously the memory consumption scales linearly with the number of entries in the table. And what is very nicely is that the measurement almost matched the numerical evaluation. So we have there's no side effects. If you consider a full BGP routing table, which means approximately 400,000 IP prefixes, and look on the required memory, then you see that you will need approximately 30 megabytes to store the corresponding raw data, which is not so much. In particular, if you compare it to a common BGP routing entry, which requires between 100 and 200 bytes. So, if you compare it, Cisco, for example, suggests that the BGP router should be equipped with 512 megabytes of RAM for storing a complete global routing table, then adding the raw data to this would mean that you need 5% of additional memory, which is not much. In the next, we look on the processing time and the processing overhead. The question is, how fast can a router load the data from the the data which the router gets from the cache server? Or in other words, how fast can a router start with the verification of the BGP data, of the BGP updates after the startup? And what we did is to calculate, created a set of prefixes with different network lengths and for different types of IP versions, and loaded this different set of IP prefixes to S mapping, to the router. And we did this directly from the from the file system to omit network delays to the cache server. And what you see here is that this is the processing time is quite low. On the x-axis, you see the number of prefixes that we imported. On the y-axis, processing time in seconds. And if you import roughly 400k prefixes, this would require 350 milliseconds. So this is almost negligible. And in particular, this means that loading the data into the router, that's a delay. Mainly depends on the distance to the cache server and not on the processing time. So I mean, if so, this means that you can very quickly start with the validation of a BGP update stream after you after the BGP router booted. In the next analysis, we looked on the dependency of the CPU load from the current state of deployment. So does the overhead depend on the set of IS2 prefix mappings that are in the RPKI and the outcome of the BGP update stream validation? So what we did is we created, we validated 2,000 IP prefixes with a different ratio of validation outcome. For example, one set of IP prefixes with where 1,000 prefixes are valid, 500 are invalid, and 500 are not part of the RPKI. And this we did for several constellations of invalid, valid, and not found ratios, and measured the CPU load in ticks. What you see is that the CPU load is almost independent from the state of deployment, so it does not depend on the outcome of the validation data. And in particular, the load is quite low. I mean, it is below one CPU tick. So all of the measurements so far are based on, on artificial, but experiments to explore the performance space. And in the next step, I show you measurement results based on real data. What we did is that we connected our monitoring system to a real BGP stream, which is based on BGP-mon. BGP-mon is a project from the Colorado State University that gives you real BGP data in real time. And this data is based on peerings with more than 100 BGP routers. Among the routers are top tier one providers such as AT&T. So we get a real BGP live stream and do a BGP update verification over a longer time on commodity hardware. What you see here is on the x-axis the time for one day, and on the y-axis for the bottom graph the CPU usage, and y-axis for the top graph the BGP updates, prefix updates per minute. And first what you see is that the CPU usage nicely directly correlates with the BGP update rate. So we have no side effects based on our implementation. And second, that the CPU usage is very low, even for very high BGP updates. Yeah? I mean, for example here, you see 60,000 BGP prefix updates per minute, and you have a CPU load which is below 0.3% on a, not very, on a common equipped PC. So if you would enable this API-based prefix origin validation on your router, it would not introduce significant load. So how can you, to which extent you can use our implementation? You can use it to extend existing BGP daemons. It is open source. We started discussion with the Bird developers, we started the beta implementation for the well-known Quagga daemon. You can use it to monitor the RPKI deployment, and because it is very, the implementation is written in C, you can easily integrate it in Python or Perl scripts. And as it is, designed also for real usage, not only for debugging, you can in particular use it for real-time monitoring. And obviously you can use it for testing purposes. For example, if you want to start enabling or deploying RPK in your network, you can use it to have to make some tests or to also evaluate the performance of the RPK cache server. How does the architecture of this implementation look like? It is very modular. We have so-called RTR sockets, and you can bind the RTR sockets to different transport types, like a plain TCP session or encrypted SSH session. And you can bundle the RTR sockets to an RTR manager. And this RTR manager then will maintain the sessions to different cache servers, which allows you also a failover. Another module in this implementation is a prefix validation table, which you can easily exchange. For example, if you need prefer additional data structure compared to those that we have implemented. Here's one example how we use RTRLab for real monitoring, and which could also be interesting for researchers or operators. The point is that you maybe want to see how does your router validate a BGP stream that it receives, but usually you don't want to update or upgrade your routers or change the firmware. And what we propose is some kind of emulation. This means that we have a nice script chain where your BGP router of interest send all data to a small piece of software, BGPmon. And based on wrapping scripts, this data is then transformed to an XML stream and finally feed into the RTRLab, which validates then the BGP stream and gives you information about the validation of the BGP updates in real time. So, this would be the same as you would enable RPKI-based BGP prefix validation on the router. What we also did is we implemented a small add-on for the Firefox, and this add-on, which you see here as a small globe, this add-on validates the prefix of the BG, of the web server that you request. So if you type URL into the web browser, this add-on resolves the corresponding IP address and IP prefix of the web server and check this prefix in the global BGP routing table and verifies if this data in the BGP routing table for this web server is correct or incorrect based on the RPKI repository. And if it is correct, the globe is green. You can click on the globe and you get additional information. And as you see in this case, Facebook indeed is RPKI enabled. So started some weeks ago. If the data in the global routing table for the for the web server is incorrect, the globe is red. By the way, this does not mean that the prefix is hijacked. It could also be due to misconfigurations of the RPKI. We did some analysis on this. And if there's no data in the RPKI table, then the globe is gray. So here are some numbers on the current deployment of RPKI. You see on the x-axis the time, And on the y-axis, a number of IP prefixes that are in the RPKI repository for IPv6 and IPv4. And you see that there's a continuous growth. And if you if you compare this state of deployment relatively to IPv6, then you would see that the deployment of RPKI is much faster compared to IPv6, actually. Before I conclude, coming back to one of these research questions, does the RPKI introduce additional attacks to the local router system? And if you think about this, you end up by the, on the question of complexity attacks. And the point with RPKI is that any owner of an IP prefix can create ROAs for this IP prefix. For example, if an operator owns a prefix 10.20.30/24, then it can create for every IP address in this prefix an IS2 prefix mapping. And if you take only one IS, you have 255 entries, which is not much with respect to the data I have shown before. In particular for IPv6, that would not require much memory in the router. But if you think about IPv6, this can explode and require much more data on the router as the router is equipped. And one approach to overcome this problem is that you limit the creation of ROAs on the site where the ROAs are created. So to conclude, the internet is quite vulnerable. We have prefix hijacks, but there are approaches that allows you to overcome this problem. And this approach is called RPKI-based prefix origin validation. And to implement this or to enable router for this, you need to implement a small protocol. And we presented here in this talk one open source implementation that does exactly this. It fetches data from the RPKI repository and validates a BGP stream. You can use this implementation to extend your router or to enable real-time monitoring. We started with the analysis of the RPKI data. In the future, we will continue a long-term study and in particular will analyze what does an invalid BGP update mean? Is it really a hijack or not? We will continue on the analysis of RPKI-based complexity attacks. And this is mainly. If you're interested in this work or in this field, you can download the software. As I said, it's open source. And you can also contribute to the software if you like. So that's it from my side. Thanks for your attention. No one working on RPKI.
So, you did a convincing job of arguing that the overhead of was quite small.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is the routers out there that are implementing RPKI validation, are they also being smarter too?
We did not compare our results with implementations of Cisco and Juniper because you cannot easily do this kind of fine grained measurement we did on the Cisco router because you need. Yes, but you cannot monitor this specific RPKI process on the Cisco, right? I mean, you can monitor the complete CPU usage. But you don't know really if it is based really on the RPKI or is some other side effects, right? Right. But you never know. I mean, this is you can do this, but it's it is a little bit vague, right?
Can you explain a little more how that works and where, what is the DNS and what the assumptions are you making there?
Okay, I mean, at the moment it's very straightforward implementation. We do not, what we are doing is we resolve the name just based on the local DNS resolver, and then transmit the corresponding IP address to an external service that resolves it to an IP prefix, and we check this IP prefix against the global routing table, and as a one measurement point for this, we take the WIPRIS service, one route view collector, if you like, and look if this, derive based on this BGP measurement point, derive the prefix to RS mapping, and then check if this mapping is correct with respect to the corresponding RPKI data. And if you install and look a little bit on the websites, you are a little bit surprised. I mean, at least I was, because usually you see that the big ISPs didn't start so far with the RPKI data, so most of the time you have a gray globe. But the smaller ISPs, Facebook is an exception, but the smaller ISPs started to deploy. So if you go to a rather uncommon website, the probability that the globe is green is much higher compared to the famous websites. And